The Haines Assembly changes local election procedures, and taking a look at traditional foods. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. When Haines voters head to the polls this fall, the ballot will look different than before. That's because the Haines Borough Assembly narrowly voted Tuesday to change the way assembly members and school board members are elected. The assembly and school board positions are designated by seats. Previously, candidates had to choose a seat to run for. The seats weren't based on any district or location, meaning candidates could run for any seat up for election they wanted to. But now, voters will see a single list of candidates on their ballot. They will be able to vote for as many candidates as there are open seats. The top vote-getters will win the election. For proponents of the ordinance, like Mayor Stephanie Scott, she said the change means there's more choices for voters.
This system simply gives the person entering the poll more choice when they go to vote. And that's all it is. And it's a common practice throughout, especially Southeast Alaska. And it may be that it doesn't get a lot of traction in the press, or not in the press, but on the street, because it really is so common. It's much less common to do as we do now, limiting seats, when the seat represents nothing distinctive. The seat that one is sitting in or one runs for, it doesn't align with any particular constituency.
Mayor Scott cast the tie-breaking vote to adopt the ordinance. Assembly members Deborah Schnabel, Norm Smith, and Joanne Waterman voted for it. Assembly members Jerry Lapp, Dave Barry, and Steve Vick were opposed. Schnabel worked to draft the ordinance taken up by the Assembly. She said election reform was identified 2 years ago in the Assembly's strategic planning. Mayor Scott also mentioned the Haines School Board unanimously supported the ordinance. But those opposed to the measure said the process had worked just fine over the years. Here's Assembly Member Jerry Lapp.
And I guess that's why I'm opposed to this. The way in the last 30 years that I've voted in this town has been this way. And the way we're voting now is no different than the way we were voting then.
It seemed apparent over the last few meetings that the ordinance would pass with the mayor's tie-breaking vote. What wasn't clear is how the ordinance would be implemented. The Federal Voting Rights Act used to require a pre-clearance for certain changes to election procedures in a handful of states, Alaska included. That pre-clearance comes from the Department of Justice, who examines election changes to make sure they adhere to the Voting Rights Act. The Haines-Borough staff and borough attorney said while the ordinance would likely receive the okay from the Justice Department, how long it would take to get could affect when the change would go into effect. But then on Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a provision of the Voting Rights Act. That provision required states with a history of voter disenfranchisement, including Alaska, to get federal approval before changing election laws. Borough Attorney Brooks Chandler wrote to the Assembly in a memo that the decision meant the ordinance could go into effect immediately and be in place for the next borough elections in October. Schnabel offered an amendment to make that change, and it narrowly passed. Not everyone thought implementing the change right away was a good idea. Here's Assemblymember Steve Vick.
I think it's a general recommendation that if we're going to change the voting, how we're going to vote, that it would be best suited to have that happen at the next election, so it doesn't appear as 3 months prior to an election we are changing the rules, so it doesn't look like it's maybe benefiting somebody. A lot of it may be appearance and not factual, but I think appearance is very important. And I'd like to see this, if and when it passes, start at the next election.
But like the vote for the ordinance, that vote passed with Mayor Scott breaking the tie in the affirmative. The Supreme Court decision also affects the redrawing of the state's legislative boundaries, which is required by the Alaska Supreme Court. The State Redistricting Board is now considering 14 different maps. Mayor Scott created a chart with some of the different options on the table, showing what communities Haines would be grouped with. Under most of the maps, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan are grouped together, as they used to be. Most options also include grouping the Upper Lynn Canal with other small communities like Gustavus, Hoonah, Tenneke Springs, and others. But each option also includes either parts or all of Juneau. Assemblyman Dave Barry said the best option for Haines is likely the option that includes the Upper Lynn Canal communities with Gustavus, Hoonah, Elfin Cove, Pelican, Tenneke Springs, and North Juneau.
I think the one that would benefit us the best would be E, the mere fact that the more communities we have that are similar to ours is the less amount of population North Juneau can put in so that we wouldn't be grounded in their thoughts.
Schnabel suggested reaching out and trying to form a consensus with other communities to express a preference.
I think it might be strategic for us to make contact with the leadership of a different, of Kuna.
Okay.
And Yakutat, and maybe build some consensus on what it is that we would like, some solidarity, I suppose. So if we find out that but we might find out in a conversation that one is better for us strategically because of their attitudes.
The redistricting board is holding a public hearing on July 2nd, that's Tuesday, from noon to 4 in Juneau. Also Tuesday, the Assembly heard from Public Works Director Carlos Jimenez about underground utilities. The Assembly called a special meeting recently as a reaction to new power poles near Beach and Front Street as part of a state road project there. Several Assembly members were upset with the poles, saying since the poles had to be moved and replaced, the borough should have worked with the state to bury the lines for the sake of beautifying the waterfront. At that special meeting a few weeks ago, the Assembly directed borough staff to see if the borough's cruise ship head tax funds could be used to go ahead and bury those lines. Jimenez and the mayor reported Tuesday that in order to retrench the utility lines, the state would have to reopen its environmental assessment on the project, which it is not willing to do. And that essentially put an end to the idea of removing the power poles along the waterfront at this time. However, Mayor Scott said the state was willing to work with the borough about the sidewalks along the project. The state said they did not have the funds to replace all the sidewalks along Front Street, and so were picking and choosing which ones would get replaced. But if the borough wanted, it could use some of its cruise ship head tax money to supplement the sidewalk work and have them all replaced along the waterfront. The Assembly agreed to have the manager work with the state and expend no more than $110,000 for the sidewalk project. The Search Traditional Foods program is hosting a very important gathering this week in Wrangell. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
This is Dungeness crab that's fresh in the shell, and deer meatballs, sweet and sour meatballs. This is deer burger spaghetti, herring eggs. This is king salmon heads that are baked, and then more king salmon, more king salmon, more king salmon.
Ken Hoyt is the coordinator of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, Traditional Foods Program in Wrangell. He walks me up and down several long tables set end to end and stacked with food. The room is full of people from all across the country, but they didn't just come for dinner. They've gathered in Wrangell for an annual traditional foods meeting. 17 tribes and tribal organizations participate in a grant program backed by the Centers for Disease Control and the Indian Health Services. The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association and SEARCH are the Alaskan participants. This is the fifth year of the grant, which helps fund health and wellness programs in each community. Many communities have started gardens, others focus on reincorporating traditional foods back into everyday diets. Eddie Joe Mitchell is from the Prairie Band of Potawatomi Indians in Kansas. He says that he can see the toll unhealthy eating practices have on many Native communities in the U.S.
With a lot of our people, we eat the modern foods, and that's what our old people told us, that a lot of the sicknesses that we have today are a direct result of the diet that we have. Refined sugars, the enriched flour, they weren't in our diets. And now a lot of our people are overweight, and that contributes to diabetes.
Larry Alonzo is with the U.S. Public Health Service. He's assigned to the Centers for Disease Control with the Native Diabetes Wellness Program. He says that through promoting exercise and healthy eating, each community is combating diabetes and other chronic diseases in its own way.
And that's our hope. You know, the diabetes epidemic did not crop up overnight, and it will not resolve overnight. So the efforts that we're seeing, which is really the intertwining of conceptual of cultural interventions at the foundation of these interventions, that is what we're hoping we're going to see have its bear its effect and bear its fruit over the course of decades.
With the grant funding, Mitchell started community gardens on his reservation, which have grown exponentially in the past 5 years. He says the mentality toward native foods has also changed over time. When he was younger, the stereotype was that only the poor country kids ate traditional foods. But now, health concerns are changing the way the Potawatomi and others think about the culture of eating.
Well, in my day, I'm 61, so that takes me back to my youth. In those days, we didn't have running water, electricity, computers, telephones. It was a poor reservation, and we had to hunt and fish, pick nunujak, have gardens. If you didn't, you didn't eat. And now our economic status is such that we don't have to do those things, but we understand that because of our health, that we have to return to our native diet.
The meeting is scheduled to continue through Friday. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
A little side note to that story, Search is also hosting a meeting in Haines on the results of the traditional and local food survey that took place here recently. The surveys were completed earlier this year by Haines and Cluckwan residents ages 60 and older. Search community dietitians have compiled the results and will present them to the public this Saturday, June 29th from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Haines Public Library. For KHNS News, I'm Mara Friedenauer. Special thanks to Shady Grove Oliver for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.